You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
There's that sound. The sound of the start of another edition of the Roto Experts. I'm your host, Mike Blewett. Bringing George Kurtz here in a minute. We're going to talk about the world of the NFL as it relates to fantasy. There's a lot to go over, as there is each and every Saturday. Whether it's injuries or start-sit questions that you may have, feel free to hit us up today on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. If you'd like to give us a call, we're taking calls. 844-843-6879. On Twitter at FNTSY Radio. George is at George Kurtz. I'm at Mike Blewett. And George, first of all, happy Saturday to you.
Happy Saturday to you. I don't know if it's really a happy Saturday, Mike. I am a Yankee fan, so, you know, last night didn't go that well. Cowboy fan, too. It's actually been not the best of weeks.
We'll get to that.
So it's not even that. It's everything else going on, too. Jones started controversies. The Cowboys with their issues as far as winning games. And so it's raining today, too. So it's a little dreary.
Well, we'll try to brighten your Saturday. And to those of you that have found us via the Fantasy Sports Radio app, we appreciate that. Those of you, we're welcoming you in from iHeartRadio or TuneIn Radio or a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thank you. We appreciate you finding us, and hopefully you'll find the information that we go over to be pretty useful. But George, we'll first start with Thursday night's game, Eagles at Panthers, a pretty entertaining game. I think the biggest highlight of it was that the Eagles' defense was really fantastic. They picked off Cam Newton three times. They had a couple of sacks. They hit him 10 more times. And it really, the manner in which they were playing, notably Fletcher Cox in the middle, they're very glad to have him back, forced the Panthers to throw the ball 52 times. That's not a recipe for them to win. Even at Cam's best, he's relatively inaccurate. They don't need him throwing the ball 52 times.
No. And, just as I was starting to get on the Cam bandwagon, he looked bad late in the game. You know, you mentioned the inaccuracy of the last drive and missing plays that were open. That was disappointing. Someone, I think of an Eagles secondary that generally can be beat. You mentioned Fletcher Cox. What a difference he makes in that defense.
It's unbelievable.
The push up the middle. I mean, like an angry man who wants to get where he wants to go. So he does make a big difference there. It was an entertaining game. You know, it's funny. I think Carson Wentz went 16 to 32. His accuracy wasn't there either.
I agree.
But it was an entertaining game and a good thing, because the Sunday night game tomorrow, I'm not liking it, Mike.
Yeah, it's we got problems there on Sunday night. We got G-Man Broncos, and honestly, when we get to the injury report, we could spend an entire segment on the Giants alone. It's they're in rough shape, and it's not just the wide receivers. It goes
far beyond.
Who did
they piss off?
Yeah, no kidding. Their karma has gotten worse than the Baltimore Ravens in a hurry. So Fletcher Cox was really the MVP of that game. He blew up the passing attack. Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Stewart managed 1 yard on 13 carries. We'll break down that game a little bit more. We'll get to some injuries. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
On the Roto Experts. Thanks for joining us. We'll get into injuries in a bit, but we'll keep talking about that Thursday night game. George and I continue to talk about it through the break. Fletcher Cox really was the MVP of that game. You saw how he blew up the Panthers running game. George, they could not run the ball at all. The only one who could run the ball was back to old school Cam. He ran the ball 11 times for 71 yards. So despite his inaccuracy, he was 28 of 52. And despite the fact that he threw three interceptions, one completely not his fault, he ended up having a good night because he ran for that touchdown on 71 yards.
Yeah, I mean, fantasy-wise, he was fine. I threw for 239, ran for 71, had a touchdown on the air and on the ground. But you got to worry. I mean, you saw him go on the one where maybe he ran it in, maybe he didn't, and I wouldn't have been able to return it on replay either. You couldn't tell that ball crossed the goal line. But he was down for a little bit because he landed hard. You know, sooner or later, that's going to be a problem. So I worry about that with Cam. I think it's tough for the Panthers because to be a good team, I think they do need him to run the ball to get those first downs because nobody else can run the ball on that team. But it also eventually is going to lead to another injury. It's dangerous when you have your franchise player doing that constantly who's had an injury history.
Yeah, despite his size, it is a shoulder injury. You're just going to take hits on the shoulder when you're running the ball around. It's that simple. He took 10 hits as it was. He carried the ball 11 more times. He took a few more hits, as you're just detailing. And it was just rough. You know, they carry the ball for 80 yards total, and 71 of that was Cam. Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Stewart couldn't do anything. On the Christian McCaffrey front, though, he did have a very solid game in PPR because since they threw the ball 52 times, somebody had to catch it, and he caught it 10 times. Only 56 yards, but he has the touchdown. The 14 targets are encouraging, but again, they're not likely to throw the ball 52 times moving forward.
No, it's nobody. As far as the running game is concerned, it's really McCaffrey a bust. I mean, because he's going to catch the ball. I mean, other than that, you look at the numbers on the rushing. Samuel, 1 carry, 8 yards. McCaffrey, 4 for 8. Fozzie Whitaker, 1 for -3. Stewart, 8 for -4. I mean, ugly. And Stewart had an ugly – this is not just one bad week. It happened. Stewart had an ugly week the game before this as well. What was it, 18 for 21 or something silly like that? So part of it's on Stewart. Part of it's on the offensive line. They cannot open up running lanes. They just can't do it. Which, once again, it's going to force – I was at Philadelphia. It's going to force Carolina to let Cam run the ball more because you can't just throw the ball 50 to 60 times. That's not going to work. It will get Cam killed. So it's an issue right now, but one, I don't see them being able to cure anytime soon.
Yeah, continuing down through the Panthers, Kelvin Benjamin, 9 catches for 99 yards on 13 targets. Really good night. Again, inflated probably because of the rate at which they threw the ball. Devin Funchess had 9 targets, only 3 for 36, but at least the 9 targets was encouraging. But again, you were saying, George, you're like ready to jump back on the Cam bandwagon. As much as he had an inaccurate game and it was bolstered by these rushing attempts, I'm not going to jump off him because while the offensive line was exposed somewhat, I do feel that they went up against a really good defense. So I don't know that they're going to see this level of pressure each and every week. So, I'll continue to sort of look at Cam on a week-to-week basis.
When it comes to that, I don't think Philadelphia is a really good defense. I think they have a good front four. Their secondary is weak. I mean, I'm not going to give Philadelphia a very good defense. But why I like Cam, and it's a fantasy, I said I've never really liked him as an NFL quarterback. The accuracy just isn't there. But look at his schedule. Chicago, Tampa, Atlanta, Miami, the Jets, the Saints.
That's
those are his opponents the next 6 weeks. So, he's got a bye week thrown in there as well. But, my God, there's not a good defense in there, at least a good secondary in there. Then you just get Minnesota for the first week of the playoffs, fantasy playoffs. But then it's Green Bay and Tampa for the next 2 weeks of the playoffs. So, once again, if you could survive, I mean, he's got matchups all over the place you're going to love. This is just him, and it's also Funchess. It's going to be Benjamin and anybody else you want to start there. Greg Olsen when he comes back. So it looks pretty healthy there. We're pretty happy there for fantasy owners. But I still, he's not going to have 300 yards every game because the accuracy sometimes will be off here. But it's going to be hard for me not to like Cam because of that schedule.
I agree. That's a very good point. So keep in mind, for those of you ready to jump off the Cam bandwagon, don't do that just yet. Very easy to schedule upcoming. So we talked about Fletcher Cox being dominant. Carson Wentz, as you mentioned earlier, not particularly accurate, but 3 touchdowns, 2 to my main man, Zach Ertz. So Wentz is 16 to 30 for 222, but 3 touchdowns. I think he shows a lot of athleticism under pressure, which he did see. Obviously, Carolina up front, pretty good too. And Philly was missing Lane Johnson, so it created a little bit more pressure on Wentz, their left tackle. So I guess you could say you know, he is, look, even if the guy is not going to be a fantasy star for years to come, you do see a lot of good signs of how he is poised under pressure, how he shows athleticism, and obviously he grinded out a win on Thursday night.
Yeah, I think he may already be a star. As far as Wentz is concerned, it's going to be tough to sit him in fantasy. If he's your backup quarterback, it's sort of like the Sean Watson situation. You know, if he's your backup quarterback and you have someone like Kirk Cousins or Mariota when he's healthy, I mean, you're not going to start these guys over Breeze, Brady, and Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, anybody else, it's going to be a tough decision week in and week out now, because I think Wentz is there. You know, three touchdown pass on a not so good night. Their running game is okay, but it's not great.
It's okay. I agree.
Right, so they're going to have to throw the ball some. So, I think you're already there with Wentz, where he's, I think at the end of the year, he's going to end up being a top 12 fantasy quarterback. So I think he is in that start, that start and start sit question every week, where I could start Wentz, but man, I'm sitting somebody really good. You know, so that's the problem when you have two good quarterbacks, you got rough decisions every week, and you look at their schedule, it's the same thing. I mean, what everybody points out now, they've already played four road games. They have a lot of home games coming up. Next week it's against Washington, then San Fran. Yes, then they get Denver. You're going to sit them that week if you have another quarterback. But then it's Dallas, then Chicago, you know, before they get to a really tough part of the schedule, which is in the fantasy playoffs, of course. Seattle, the Rams, the Giants. For all we think about the Giants, we have to remember their secondary is still pretty good. So the fantasy playoffs could be an issue, but the regular season is looking pretty good for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, agreed. So keep going through it. Alshon Jeffrey, 4 catches for 71 yards. Nelson Aguilar, 4 catches for 55 yards. He did nothing, but the touchdown was impressive. Showed a burst of speed, got away from a linebacker, had no shot to cover him. LeGarrette Blount, 14 carries for 67 yards. He gets the two-point conversion. George, in general, so there's no Wendell Smallwood. Kenyon Barner, he picked up a couple of carries, and Corey Clement, for those of you that were hanging on to him in deeper leagues, 2 carries for 2 yards. You can just cut him if you were still hanging on to him. What are your thoughts about Blount moving forward? You feel like he just saw a few more carries because Smallwood was out, and once Smallwood comes back, it just muddies the waters?
That's a fairly accurate description here. Blunt's going to have value because he's going to be the goal line guy. And there are going to be games where he's going through people, so they're going to keep running him the ball, keep giving him the touches there. Last couple of games, I mean, he's almost a must-start. 71, Smallwood had the one big game against the Giants, right? But other than that, we don't know what we're going to get from him. So it's not like he's going to be the bell cow once he's there. I think he will play next week. He'll get 10 days, so he'll be back. And he'll get 10 to 12 carries. But I think this is also, if I'm Doug Peterson, I'm going to, you know, first quarter, mix it up between both of them. Whichever one's running well, that's my back. You know, I don't know why more teams wouldn't do this when you don't have a star running back. There's no Ezekiel Elliott. There's a Le'Veon Bell here. You know, so you're not married to giving it the ball to one person. If Blount's going through people, fine. Blount's the guy. If it's Smallwood, because he's having a good game, you know, he's elusive, a little bit more elusive, but getting yardage, then he goes as the starter here. And that's the way I expect him to really go with it. The reason I would like Blount more is, no matter what happens, I do expect Blount to be the goal line guy. I don't think that's going to change. You know, but for all the aggravation we've given Blount, his last 4 weeks, 67, 74, 136, 67. That's just rushing yardage, not even counting with touchdowns, which he's got two in that span. So he's definitely fantasy worthy.
Yeah, on pace for 1,000. That's a 1,000-yard pace right there, what you just mentioned. So, you know, LeGarrette Blount, I think he will frustrate some people in certain weeks, as you've kind of alluded to, but there will be weeks where he'll really pay off, and he'll probably be a week-by-week start-sit situation based on matchups and all that other kind of stuff. But George just mentioned that that schedule eases up quite a bit. It will depend who your other options are. I can tell you I'm going to have to start LeGarrette Blount moving forward in a league because Zeke Elliott was one of my starters. So you could be in situations like that where Blount still is going to have a lot of value, especially considering all the other running back injuries we're going to go through in the next segment. He's a guy that you really want. I'll end this game, put a bow on this game. We may want to spend more than a minute on it, but thoughts real quick on Luke Kuechly. He's my favorite player in the NFL, George. I'm so bummed about it. I went to Boston College. I was a season ticket holder when he was a player there, and I used to see him a lot. I knew he was going to be the real deal at the NFL level, and he's even better than I thought at the NFL level. So his third concussion in 3 years, and there's obviously people talking about retirement. I don't know about your thoughts.
You know what? watching NFL Live yesterday with Teddy Bruschi, I think he put it perfectly. Bruschi came back from a stroke, and a lot of people told him, you know, you can't play, that's it, you're done. Doctors told him he could. Same thing with Kuechly. If he wants to play, but doctors say he can, then you come back and play. If not, though, I got to worry about my long-term health. I think in the end, that's the most important thing. What does Kuechly want to do?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I saw that same clip. So we'll come back. We'll talk about him and the other injuries after this on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Radio Network, excuse me. Oh, man, I messed that up. He was supposed to hit the post. I didn't wait long enough. Cleared my throat on the air. That's just not where you want to be. Well, anyway, George, we got a question on Twitter from Pac3 Chris. He says, Dax is QB1. He's stashing Luck and picked up Stafford. Should he drop Luck for any of the following? Marlon Mack, Matt Breida, Samaje Perine, Derrick Henry, Wayne Gallman, CJ Procise, Jameson Crowder, or Juju Smith-Schuster. That's a non-PPR.
Should you drop
him? He obviously doesn't need three QBs. He probably doesn't even need two. But, yeah, let's drop one of these guys. It should be Luck, I would assume.
I'm going to drop Luck. I have no problem with that. I might drop Stafford, too. Why am I keeping two quarterbacks?
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as the Dallas bye is over next week, you can ride with Dak and you'll be fine. I mean, you may be a little bit worried about Elliott getting suspended and maybe the passing game doesn't work either. That wouldn't actually shock me, so I might be a little concerned there. But Detroit's not passing the ball all that much, so Stafford's not going to have a big season anyway. And
he's banged up, Matt Stafford.
Everybody's banged up. That doesn't bother me. He's playing. He's playing tomorrow. Suck it up.
Yeah.
But Luck, we don't know what Luck's going to give us from week in and when he comes back. And still, that may be weeks away, which lets you know it's just an odd situation with Indianapolis this year and how they handle this Luck thing. As far as the players he mentioned, if you need a wide receiver, well, go get a crowd. I think that Washington passing game does pick up now. You know, I think they've had some I know I said it many times. I was worried about the Washington passing game coming in. Brand new wide receivers. They had a rough preseason. You wonder if it was going to take them a couple of weeks into the regular season to figure things out. That seems to have played out that way. Now they had their bye, another 2.5 weeks to figure it out. I think that passing game is going to start to take off now. So I think Crowder will be better. I don't know about a world beater, but better. So yes, if I need a wide receiver, I grab him. So my bigger question is going to be, okay, Do you need more of a running back? He mentioned a whole slew of running backs, Mack, Breida, a couple other guys. I'm not taking Samaje Perine because Rob Kelly will probably be back next week, and it'll be his starting job again, so you can wipe him out. I think you might have said Latavius Murray, too. I'll pass
now,
there.
No, Marlon Mack, Matt Breida. You said no Perine. It's Derrick Henry, Wayne Gallman, CJ Procise.
Gallman's definitely a no.
Yeah, non-PPR. Procise is a no, so he's out.
Procise is also a no. It really comes up to Mack and Breida for me. Those are two guys I like. I think Mack's going to take more and more of the carries from Frank Gore. Maybe he'd never truly be the starter. I could see Mack actually being the Wendell Smallwood to Gore's LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's what I'll say. Here's the way I make the decision. I'll drop Luck now, and I'll pick up Mack. Because if everybody's healthy, Mack is going to get more carries than Breida. That's the bottom line for me. As you just said, he'd be the Wendell Smallwood to LeGarrette Blount. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's going to get a little bit in Indianapolis. Not ideal. Sure, you'd like Frank Gore to take a back seat to him at some point. But if Carl Tide is healthy, Matt Breida is not going to see them all that much.
I wouldn't quite go there.
As much as Mack. I don't think you'll see it as much as Mack.
Shanahan doesn't like Carl Tide. He hasn't for the pre doesn't and does it now. Remember, Shanahan's the one who came out last week and said Hyde's fine. That's an indictment because he's probably not fine, but Shanahan doesn't care. He's not looking to protect Hyde. So I don't know if I'd go that direction. I think Brady's going to get more and more touches here. I think Shanahan likes him much more. But then Williams will be back in a couple of weeks, too, and that'll muddy the situations even more. So that can be a problem as well.
Right. So I'll go Mac now. But to George's point, after this bye, you can cut two quarterbacks, and then you have Mac and Brady. So you could go that route. Problem is Dak versus Matt Stafford is a pretty good debate. So we're going to put up a poll in a couple of minutes on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. And I asked George this during the break. Who would you rather have rest of the season for fantasy football, Cam Newton or Carson Wentz?
That's pretty close to a coin flip. I don't think you can go wrong on either one. We already mentioned Carolina's schedule, which is really cake. You know, Philadelphia's schedule is a little tougher, you know, but I really like what Carson Wentz is doing. The receivers, probably a slight edge towards Philly because of Alshon Jeffery, although he's not doing a whole lot here. Oh, man. I'm going to go with Cam. I think the running ability is going to separate it there just enough for me to go Cam. And I said I just can't get past that schedule. Not a tough fantasy defense in the mix.
Yeah. I think it's really close, but I think I'm going to do the same. I think he'll do Cam. I think because of that running ability, he could have some really super games. Not that Wentz can't, but it's just not going to be quite the same. And this is close, honestly. If you rank them the rest of the season, they're probably both just inside the QB1 conversation. But I'd probably lean towards Cam, too. I'm not jumping off the ship because he didn't look great the other night. They were under duress a lot. So let me move over to the injuries. Again, we talked about Luke Kuechly before. I really hope he's going to be back. George and I saw that same clip from Teddy Bruschi. He was cleared to play after a stroke, and he wanted to play, so he kept doing it. I think Luke Kuechly's in the same scenario, but the cumulative effect of the concussions have to be scary for a guy that isn't all that old. So here we go. Giants. The wide receivers thing is obviously a complete mess. They're missing their top four wide receivers, three of whom are out for the year. In Marshall, Beckham, and Dwayne Harris. I think Dwayne Harris is out for the year. He's got a broken foot, and it's week six. So I think he's out for the year. I don't know if they officially made that determination, but he's out for now, that's for sure. Sterling Shepard out for the week. So is running back Paul Perkins, defensive lineman Olivier Vernon, center Weston Richburg, linebacker Jonathan Casillas, and backup defensive end Romeo Okwara. Safety Landon Collins is questionable, and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is suspended indefinitely. So, George, the guys that were the hot waiver wire picks were Roger Lewis and Tavarius King, just because somebody's got to get the ball. With 89% of their receptions out, 65 of 73, 88% of their receiving yards out, and 80% of their touchdowns by wide receivers. It's Roger Lewis and Tavarius King, and they're going up against Denver. Any expectations?
Nope. I mean, really, the Giants, I understand. I grabbed Lewis in the league, too. He was available. I grabbed him. I think it was a Scott Fishbowl. So, fine, I took him. But you're not starting him tomorrow. You're not starting him next week against Seattle. And then you're not starting him the week after next. They have their bye week. So even if you grab Lewis, he's not startable until, November 5th. You know, week 9 against the Rams. Even that's not going to be a great matchup. The Giants are toast. All right, listen. The tomorrow night, the big joke is going to be, can they score a point? And that's really not a joke because I'm wondering it too. The running game is not there. The offensive line's terrible. Denver's coming off a bye. I mean, good luck. Good luck. Now, I don't know when the Giants get another win here. You know, they play San Francisco in week 10. Maybe that's a shot there. But other than that, like I said, Denver, Seattle, Rams, KC, Redskins, Oakland. Hell, I don't know if they can beat Dallas right now. Philadelphia, they get Zoner in week 16. Where is the win coming from the Giants with this team right now? The defense is still good, but the offense is miserable. It was miserable even before all these injuries. And now it's just devastated. I have no idea where the points are coming from here. So you got Roger Lewis, fantastic. You're not starting until week 9.
Eli was actually the number 10 quarterback, George, coming into this week. You think you got to look for other options, though, right? If you've been sort of...
you weren't starting Eli anyway.
Well, not this week.
Yeah, I mean, even the whole season, no one was starting Eli. He was not a quarterback one coming in. If you're in a two-quarterback league, a super flex you were, but a one-quarterback league you weren't.
I'm simply stating that he has played, though, up to QB1 level. Even if the offense hasn't been efficient, he's had a couple of really legitimate fantasy games.
Very few. I was getting no Eli questions at all this year. Not a one.
I think that's fair. I'm just saying if you have picked up Eli and you started to play him, you just have to keep in mind.
Unless you're in a two-quarterback league, Eli can go. Everybody on the Giants can go. There's nobody on the Giants you want to start. And really, you don't. And I already mentioned it. They're playing Denver and Seattle the next 2 weeks. Don't have a bye week. So you're not even thinking about starting a Giant. Maybe outside of Evan Engram. And even he disappeared last week. What happened to him?
I have no idea. I don't know how you go.
No fantasy point. Well, you got to be kidding me. How did that make any sense?
It doesn't.
So that was strange. I don't know why he disappeared last week. But he's the one guy I would consider against Denver and Seattle. But even then, the expectations are limited there. But you got to think he's going to see 8-plus targets every game. Because he's the only reliable person right now that Eli can throw to there. So I would have some interest in Evan Engram. And he's a rookie, and that's an issue there. The Giants are it's hard to believe, but they're going to be in the race here for the number one pick next season.
Easily. I mean, as you said, there's not a lot of wins left on this slate. And even if they gut it out tomorrow, they would gut it out to keep it close. They're not going to gut it out to win. You know, I just can't really see how they're going to put it all together with Roger Lewis and Nevarez King and, you know, Wayne Gallman. So keep going down through these games, and we'll continue into the next segment because we spent a lot of time on Giants and some other stuff. Detroit Lions quarterback Matt Stafford is banged up, as is Ziggy Ansah and Kenny Golladay. And I think Golladay hasn't really been practicing. All those guys are questionable, as is Dwayne Washington. We expect Stafford to go, and most of these guys to go, although I think Galladay's got a shot to miss it again. So just keep in mind when that game comes on to the slate tomorrow. It is a 1 o'clock game, so you have the entire slate to look at to make up for Galladay if you're playing him in deeper leagues. Minnesota Vikings quarterback Sam Bradford declared out. You're going to have Case Keenum again. Unfortunately, Stephon Diggs with a groin injury out. I didn't really see this coming necessarily, George, but he has been nursing this injury, and he's going to get a week of rest.
Yeah, not surprised about Diggs. He missed practice Wednesday and Thursday. So you saw that, I'm like, oh, great. He's probably not going to play. So it makes Thielen, his value goes up a little bit because, let's face it, that Green Bay secondary can't cover anybody, so that should lead a lot of targets his way. Some people all over Mike, Mr. Floyd. I don't know if I'd go that direction, Mike. I don't know. Right, but I've heard people play him up because, once again, the Green Bay is secondary. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'm out, too. Unless I am really desperate, I have to assume I have better options on my roster here than Mike Floyd. I can't go there at all. I think the bigger question for Minnesota is going to be the running
game. When is Laquon Treadwell going to do something in this football career of his? Yeah. When's that happening? They draft
Not Sunday.
Yeah. Guess not. Until he does it, why would we expect otherwise?
Exactly.
Derek Carr is playing. Good news. That's the good news from the injury report. We'll come back. We'll keep wrapping this up. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts back after this.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock daily fantasy sports.
Back on the Roto Experts, and we are talking injuries. We'll talk Zeke Elliott during this as well. Well, why don't we start with that before we get back to the injury report, George, since it is a big piece of news. I don't want to spend 2 hours on it, but we need to address it because it's obviously a massive loss to fantasy teams. I'm not going to go back through the entire history of Zeke Elliott's transgressions and how he's been punished. The reality is this 6-game suspension is back on as of right now.
It is. Well, he's already, his team, I guess you might say, has already requested a full en banc hearing, which is all the judges on the Fifth Circuit would hear it. I think it's 20 of them or 21, whatever it is like that. That's unlikely. Only 3% of those cases are heard, so that's probably not going to work. But that's the next step here. Like I said, we haven't heard the last of this. And there's a lot of people assuming that he's still going to play next week. Maybe yes, maybe no. I think here's your issue here. Do you have to go out and grab Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris? Yes. You do. I think it's actually Darren McFadden who will start, not Alfred Morris. Yeah, I think what Dallas has been doing all year is they just feel that Alfred Morris is a better backup during a game than Darren McFadden. So Morris has been in there, and McFadden has it. But if it comes down to Elliott is suspended, McFadden would start with Morris technically the backup, but neither one would have the workload of Ezekiel Elliott. Probably a 60-40 split, somewhere around there. It could also be, once again, whichever guy's getting the job done, as Dallas wouldn't be able to play games here. So they have issues there. That's the way I expect it to be. You know, also, we have to remember, that offensive line was not playing well. It wasn't like they were opening big-time holes for Ezekiel Elliott. He was having a rough time. He didn't really look like Ezekiel Elliott until the fourth quarter of that Green Bay game. That's when things started to really look more normal again. So I would have be very hesitant about breaking the bank on Morris or McFadden for all of these reasons. You know, I understand, you really want both. Yeah, that's too rough to spot. You're still going to be playing a guessing game each week as to which one to start there. You know, the Dallas Cowboys schedule is not friendly. I guess they get San Fran, Washington. Then it's KC, Atlanta, Philadelphia. We saw yesterday them being able to stop the run. It's like an every other week thing where they're going to have a bad matchup. So I'm not all that thrilled here. I would be very careful with who you spend on. But if I had a choice, Mike, I would spend on McFadden, not Morris.
I am the same way based on, you know, 8 carries for 87 yards on the year from Alfred Morris, nothing from McFadden yet.
70 on one carry, by the way.
Yeah, and I'm basing it on recent history, meaning, you know, last year, last couple of years in which they needed him to fill in. I think you're right. I think they consider Morris maybe a better change of pace back, which allows him to come off the bench perhaps a little bit cleaner than McFadden would. So it's a little bit of guesswork. It's a lot of guesswork, but I'll shade to McFadden as opposed to Morris. You'll hear plenty of other fantasy experts on this network and elsewhere go the other way, and they're entitled to do that.
George, another reason is Morris can't catch the ball.
Yeah.
You know, McFadden can. McFadden can catch the ball in the backfield. Morris can't. There's a lot of things. I think everyone's assuming that it's Morris because he's been on the roster. McFadden hasn't. But I think that's been a specific game plan thing for Dallas because they think Morris is a better backup than McFadden would be. You mean he could do more things, change the pace. So it's been strange. But the bottom line is this. I don't know if either one's going to be able to run the ball any kind of consistency. I think it's going to be a big issue all season long. Elliott's a loss because he was still a top 10 back in this fantasy year. I don't think McFadden, even if he is a starter, is a top 10 back. So you're not going to get the same kind of production.
Does this affect anybody positively, like Dak Prescott?
Well, Dak is already a top, what, 5 fantasy quarterbacks? I don't know how much more positive you can get for that. It could be negative, actually, because yes, he'll have to throw the ball more, but teams are going to be playing the throw for him to throw the ball. So that's going to be a problem. Right, I mean, so he's not going to have all these open receivers because they're stacking the box. No teams are going to stack the box against Darren McFadden. They're going to look to make sure Des not making big plays anyway, but they're going to make sure he doesn't. You know, maybe it's more coverage on Beasley. He's another guy. Yes, Beasley had the big game against Green Bay. Dallas has finally started giving him vertical routes. I think that was an issue. You know, teams started to catch on that all he's doing is running these little 5-yard patterns, you know, square ins or square outs for the first downs, and teams were taking that away. They ran some vertical routes. Green Bay was caught off guard. He made some big plays here. So maybe Beasley has a slight uptick here. Like I said, I think they'll have to throw the ball more. I don't think there's any doubt they'll have to throw the ball more here without Ezekiel Elliott. But I don't know if is that going to make you go out and grab Terrence Williams? He's average at best. Beasley, no thank you. I got to think he could do better at tight end. And Witten, yes, I think he would get an uptick, absolutely. But, you know, his upside is limited. You know, he's going to need a touchdown to truly be a fantasy worthy that week. He's had a weird season. It was hot in the beginning, right? Yeah, 7 receptions, 10 receptions, 1-1, then 8. So he's sort of all or nothing. You know, and I think it's going to be closer to nothing as the season goes on.
It's like an Amari Cooper season, except he's sliding into consistent one-point performances. Anyway, so that's it for Zeke Elliott. We'll go back to the rest of the injuries. Our thoughts, I think, with George and I are in line. We shade McFadden over Morris, but we don't have high expectations, certainly not Ezekiel Elliott level replacement expectations for either of them. So we'll keep going through. Cleveland Browns announced Kenny Britt is questionable. They got a bunch of guys banged up. Good news for their defense. Jamie Collins comes back defensively, could create a little bit more of a problem for Lamar Miller and the Houston Texans. Miami Dolphins, Devontae Parker, did not practice, listed as doubtful. I don't think he's been officially declared out, but there's not a high level of expectation for him to play at all. Washington, cornerback Josh Norman, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago before their bye, he's going to be out this week. And you have running back Rob Kelly is doubtful. Offensive lineman Trent Williams, questionable. So that just puts a little bit more pressure, perhaps, on Kirk Cousins if he's not able to go. So, and they're playing the Niners, obviously. Is there some sort of a revenge game thing there, like for Pierre Garçon? Do you get to say that?
Sure, why not? It's time Garçon anyway. Does it really matter? I mean, isn't this the game more of Kirk Cousins wanting to prove to San Fran why they should pay him $25 million a year and give him $90 million signing bonus, whatever it's going to come out to be? So I kind of find it strange that way. But yeah, like I said, you're starting Garçon. No Josh Norman tomorrow. He's got the broken ribs. So yeah. Garçon should have a field day because I think the Redskins are going to put up plenty of points. Almost the impunity. So lots of targets coming Garçon's way.
I agree. So Atlanta, Mohamed Sanu is out. And as is Courtney Upshaw, but Mohamed Sanu continues to be out with a hamstring injury. Let's see. Marcus Wheaton from the Bears. We're talking deep leagues, obviously, but Marcus Wheaton, he's out for the game this Sunday. Baltimore Ravens running back Terrence West will be out. Does that mean it's Alex Collins' turn? Does that mean it's Javorius Allen's turn? Javorius Allen is the guy that was a hot waiver wire pick. Then people released him. Then he's a hot waiver wire pick again, George.
Listen, if PPR, I'll go Allen. Standard, I'll go Collins. But I don't have much faith in either one. It's a decent matchup against the Chicago Bears. So you think they should get some damage done here. But this is an offense that's just not very good. It's very pedestrian. No, there's no... Where's the sizzle on anybody in this offense? In the passing offense or a running offense? There's nothing. So
Jeremy Macklin's just buried on this team. It stinks because he's a pretty good player. And it's just same thing that happened to Anquan Boldin in this offense. It just got really boring and a few targets here and there. But there's no explosive element to this offense, really.
No. I don't think Joe Flacco's all that good. I've said it before. I think he's an average quarterback at best. So I think it's because he won a Super Bowl. It's sort of that Trent Dilfer. I don't want to say as bad as Trent Dilfer, but in that range, where he's an ad block. Really, if you start a team today, where is Flacco in the quarterbacks you would take of the 32? I mean, somewhere in the 20s? High 20s at that? There are a million quarterbacks I would take before Joe Flacco.
I hope he can make the top 20.
There's some backups I would take before Flacco.
Oh, that's not good. All right, you've made your feelings... You've made your feelings clear on Joe Flacco. Jeremy Maclin has 16 catches in 5 games. It seems almost impossible to me. But anyway, we'll keep going through the injury report. And you got Brandon Williams, by the way, for the Ravens. Their nose tackle, Brandon Williams, is doubtful. I bring that up because there's a possibility for Jordan Howard to get a little bit more work done. He is a key cog in stopping the run. Rob Gronkowski told reporters he'll play against the Jets. Tom Brady's fine as well. Houston Texans linebacker Bernardrick McKinney was a limited participant in Friday's practice and is questionable. I think he is possibly a game time decision. George, this adds to the fact that J.J. Watt is done for the year. Whitney Mercilus is done for the year. This Houston Texans team, which is riding high on Deshaun Watson and a solid defense, it's kind of falling apart here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it certainly has. I gotta tell you, injuries. Every time I think we do this segment, it's like the sad segment. Injuries. Who's in? Who's out? It's like you're all. This is what we do on Mondays or even Sunday nights nowadays. Just praying that the injuries don't affect your team. When the big money league you're in, your DFS teams, please don't get hurt. I have a saying like this. I always like to say to myself, I don't need good luck. Just don't give me bad.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think it's a good. Sort of outlook on all of this. Odell Beckham owners and IDP owners of J.J. Watt, they're feeling their hurt.
Yeah, I mean, J.J., that's tough. I mean, for everything he's done this season, the kind of man he is, the kind of player he is, to have two seasons now cut short by this, you have to wonder if his career is really, trending in the opposite direction here, if he'll never, ever be that player he once was.
The back injuries are bad enough. Now he's got a lower leg injury. It's brutal. So keep going through it. A couple of defensive injuries for the Rams, which I don't need to get into. The Packers are all kinds of banged up. Brian Bulaga, tackle, limited again on Friday. Ty Montgomery, full participant. He's questionable, but that's good news. What does that do to the Packers running game with Ty Montgomery, Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams all there?
Oh, that makes it fun, right? I mean, Ty Montgomery's going to play tomorrow, so everybody who has Aaron Jones is going to want to calm down. Montgomery can catch the ball much better in the backfield. That's what he is. That's what the passing offense. That's what the offense is designed around. It's running back catching passes here with Aaron Rodgers here. I don't want to shy away from Jones, but, you know, the Minnesota front four, that's not going to be fun. It's not a Dallas front four. He won't have anywhere near that success tomorrow.
A couple other guys, John Brown, J.J. Nelson, off the injury report. They're going to play. Bilal Powell. Questionable. Looks like he'll go. Chiefs got a banged up offensive line, too. I'll wrap those up after the break. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts.
Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning. And listen, we could all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to three guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package.
Back on the Roto Experts, Mike and George. We'll get to game previews in the next hour. But first, I want to tell you about something that we're doing this season and partnering with DKMS. And DKMS is on a mission to fight blood cancer. So go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS. And once you're there, you're going to be able to sign up to be part of a bone marrow donation pool. You're going to be able to make a donation to the cause. And more importantly, you're going to help us spread the word about the DKMS cause. So once you get there, you're going to do all those kinds of things, sign up, maybe be part of the pool, maybe make a donation. But also, you'll find a link to Fantasy Draft. And we're running a free DFS contest each and every week. The winner of the contest each and every week gets put into the grand prize contest, which occurs in week 17. So we'll have all 16 weekly winners. And in the week 17 grand prize contest, you get an opportunity to win two tickets to the Super Bowl. Whoever wins that week 17 contest will get two tickets to the Super Bowl in Minnesota, starring the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. How's that, George? I'm trying to mix it up each time I do this read.
Oh, you gotta make it interesting for yourself, right, Mike? Philadelphia Eagles. No.
No? Okay. Well, I tried. A little bit of recency bias there. They haven't won a big game the other night. So, in any event, rotoexperts.com/DKMS. You go there, find out all the information, enter the free DFS contest, and try to win. I have yet to win a week, but I'm still trying. You know, it doesn't happen overnight, George. Got to work through it. Got to work through some of these lineups. I've been not good in DFS this year, so I'm going to try and turn it around this week, see what I can do. So, getting back to the injury report, the one thing I would mention on the Chiefs, I mentioned it right before the break, they got two starting offensive linemen out. I just wonder, it's such a big game for the Steelers. I just wonder if they can kind of upset the Chiefs this week. I've been thinking it all week. I'm a homer. I'm a Steelers fan. I get it. They haven't been playing well, but it's pushed up come to shove time. Ben's playing terribly. Unfortunately, he's on the road here. But I just wonder if this helps a little bit and slows down Kareem Hunt to some extent.
Well, Steelers are a mess. I mean, there's got to be big time locker room turmoil going on in there.
A lot of it's on Ben.
I said it for years. Ben is such a prima donna. He wants to be the focus. He says things to get the focus on him, whether it's about his injuries and, you know, how he's pretty much Superman playing through it, or he's got to put his other kind. Oh no, it's my job to call out my teammates. No, it's really not. Especially not to the media. Maybe in practice it is. So it's just hilarious here. Do I see this working out for them tomorrow? It could be, as you sort of mentioned, of I don't know if I'd call it a must-win game. You know, they're still in first place in the division, so I'm not going to quite go that far. You're in Kansas City, tough place to play. It did work out well for you last year in the playoffs, but Kansas City is playing so well right now. Pittsburgh's just playing so not well, and they got Ben, who's pretty much, maybe I'm not one of the, maybe I'm not as good as I was anymore. Then and I am one of the 20 best quarterbacks. Shut up.
That was a ridiculous.
Play football.
That was a ridiculous press conference that he tried to engineer.
Right. I mean, listen, fantasy-wise, it's this. I'm starting Bell. I'm starting Brown. That's it.
So there you go. Yeah, Martavis Bryant hasn't done anything. They mentioned that Eli Rogers is starting. Juju Smith has been starting. Martavis Bryant said he needed a break. They might inactivate the guy. He might get like a Nelson Aguilar-type mental health break kind of week. But maybe he needs it. I mean, it helped Aguilar, I guess, in the long term. So there you go. Steelers are kind of a mess. I didn't necessarily see that coming. As George said, I don't think they're going to struggle to win the division. But, you know, as far as them kind of challenging the good teams in the AFC, it's not looking good right now. I think a big part of it, George, I'll say this as we go out to the break. I think Ben's done. I've said it before the year. I think this is his last year. I think that's a big problem here.
What did Parcells say? When you start thinking about retirement, you are retired.
That's exactly right. We'll be back after this.